Well, welcome back, everyone. We are here with our Bible study teacher, Beth Seifert, and we are opening up to the book of Romans. Beth, thank you so much for teaching us today. Let's begin.
Thanks, Amy. Well, today we're going to go ahead and jump into Romans chapter 10. We're only going to go through the first four verses. Romans chapters 9, 10, and 11 are filled with a lot of things that can be very hard to hear. So we're kind of taking these a piece at a time. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open to Romans chapter 10. We're going to be in verses 1 through 4. Brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God for them is that they may be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For being ignorant of the righteousness of God and seeking to establish their own, they did not submit to God's righteousness. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. Paul loves his Israelite Jewish brothers, and he desires that they may be saved. His calling to the Gentiles to share the good news with them doesn't mean that he's forgotten or abandoned his Jewish brothers. He takes no delight in Israel's fall. He knows that there are those among the Israelites, those who are truly zealous for God, who truly do want to please Him and do His will. And that's a good thing. Unfortunately, their zeal is not based on knowledge of what will please Him. Without understanding God's plan, they can't recognize what is actually going on in the world around them and respond to it accordingly. Their zeal is not based on truth. So, instead, they show their zeal in their legalistic conformity to the law, and in their fierce opposition to the opponents of Judaism. And Paul, in Acts 22, verses 3 through 5, describes himself as zealous for God in his persecution of Christians. Paul understood the zeal that the Jews felt. They don't get that righteousness is what matters. It is the benchmark for everything else, but not their own righteousness. Through God's eyes, none of us are righteous. No Jew, no Gentile, no one. It is only through Christ's sacrifice that the law is fulfilled and righteousness comes to all who believe in Him. The Jews sought to establish their own righteousness. They looked at the law given by God to Moses and said, "Okay, so what constitutes work on the Sabbath? Let's decide." They looked and said, "What does honor your parents mean? What does the bare minimum of honor look like?" They said, "Do not commit adultery means sex. Okay, so as long as I don't have sex with another man's wife, I'm okay. But anything else is okay, right?" It was based off of these rules that they created that they determined a person's righteousness. So those people who struggled with any of those things, they looked down upon as unworthy, as not good enough, as unrighteous. They divided themselves into the haves and the have-nots, instead of realizing that all of us fall into the have-nots, when based solely on our own performance. The Jews understood that God was a righteous God, while missing out on what the resulting implications of that truth were. God's righteousness was revealed in the law, as we see His standards are clearly set out, and also all throughout the Old Testament. As a result, they should have been aware of their unrighteousness. Instead, we have the Pharisees who would pray, "Thank you, God, that I'm not like this man who's so awful. Thanks for making me awesome." They completely missed the point. It is only through faith in Christ that any sinner is made righteous, not through their own futile efforts to attain righteousness. Paul's word choice here, too, is telling. God's righteousness is an active force that we must humbly and obediently submit ourselves to in faith. Because Christ is the fulfillment of the law, all who come to Him in faith receive the righteousness that He offers to justify us before God. This doesn't mean, by the way, that because we have Christ, that the law is no longer useful. Believers are bound to God's law as it is now mediated in and through Christ. And the Mosaic law, just like all Scripture, is useful for teaching, rebuking, and training in righteousness. This is something that I think needs to be said. Many sincerely spiritual people are absolutely wrong in their beliefs. Any time that we rely on the rules of a denomination to save us, instead of relying on Christ and the Bible, we're lost. You may have a different list of rules that you feel must be followed, but if those are traditions and not scripture-based, then you're relying on your own ability to follow the rules to save you. You're not relying on Christ. Ladies, there are all sorts of things that we can place over and above Christ. Often, we have very moral people sitting in the church, but that morality is still based on a sense of, I'm better than you are, not, I'm a sinner just like you, but I'm grateful that Christ has redeemed me. When we look down on others because they aren't as churchy as we are, they don't tithe the correct percent, or don't wear the right clothes, they don't worship the right way, standing, sitting, kneeling, hands raised, hands down, solemn, joyful, whatever. They ask uncomfortable questions that they should just know the answers to. All of those things. We're no better than the Pharisees at all. When we put more emphasis on the externals than on the change in the heart that only Christ can bring, we've missed the mark. Ladies, I say this today with the prayer that you will hear this and examine your hearts. Are you a follower of Christ, or are you a spiritual person? Christ is truly the only way to heaven. I'm not challenging that idea at all. But we don't want to be like the Jews who missed the Savior because they were looking at the law. We can attach our own list of qualifications with which we judge someone else's salvation, something we are never supposed to be doing, by the way. But to say that someone is obviously not saved because they came to church wearing jeans is absolutely ridiculous. To say that someone obviously must be saved because they are at church every Sunday is equally ridiculous. Just because I stand in the garage doesn't mean I'm a car any more than being in church means I'm a Christian. Where is your heart? Who is it following? Is it following him? Or are you still worried about what that other person is doing and measuring yourself up to them? Are you actively digging into the Word, seeking his will? Are you checking what you are taught at church or anywhere else for that matter against scripture to make sure it is in line with his word? Or are you acting like a baby bird, expecting the pastor to chew up the rough parts for you and just regurgitate it for you to swallow? Sorry for the graphic imagery there, but I'm serious. There are so many people who expect their pastor to do all their thinking for them, and they get angry when the pastor assumes they have knowledge, knowledge which they should have, and they don't have that knowledge because they've never put forth their own effort to learn and grow with God. You can't stay on spiritual milk forever, ladies. There comes a point where you won't be nourished by it anymore. You have to move on to meat. If you are content on the milk, you're malnourished in your soul, and it's not going to do you any good. Please take this warning to heart today. Spend time as often as you can with your Lord. Read his word, his message to you. See for yourself what he says. Check all teaching against scripture. Rely on scripture alone. 2 Timothy 3:16 tells us that it is God-breathed and it is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Spend time in his word, preparing yourself for what he has in store for you. Be nourished and fortified in him.
Thank you, Beth. All of our Bible study notes again on our website, naomistable.com. Nancy and I will be back in just a moment to talk more about what we just heard.